Resonant Truth presents Natural Time, Mayan Astrology for a Modern Age. I'm Lisa Starr. I was raised in the faith of the Mayan sacred calendars. These ancient cycles have been resurrected for a modern audience and called Natural Time, in part because our year of uneven month lengths is, by comparison, really unnatural. I am not here to lead any kind of revolt against the Gregorian calendar, but I do want to bring the Mayan alternative to light, and I want you to know about Mayan astrology, where the passage of time and your birthday within it has deep mystical and magical significance according to indigenous spirituality. I am passionate, I am transparent, and I am emotionally available, if not volatile. And that's because I'm a blue overtone storm. You can find out what you are at resonanttruth.com. Today on the Zolk'in count is called Blue Resonant Hand, and it is the seventh day of the Red Dragon Wave Spell, and it is also the planetary moon day two. And so much has happened, and then not so much. So much is happening, and it's global and it's local, and it is absolutely energetically vital. And on the other hand, I think if you're like me, days go by sort of bleeding one into the other without a precise sense of accomplishment, although I'm busy all the time and really doing a lot of combined cleaning and making creative projects. So at the end of each day, there's definitely a point of accomplishment and exhaustion, but it's sort of like the value of the things that I do has changed so much in the last 20, 30 years, 50, 100, that it doesn't seem like I really did anything. I didn't make any money. I didn't, I'm not raising children. But I have a really tight linen closet and some cool new jewelry. So it's like being a teenager. I think that's the teenage angst, and something we can be nostalgic for is just like the aimlessness. So that's not really natural time. That's just a check-in. Maybe I haven't talked to anyone today. No, I have. Okay, so... let's get right into the astrological omens of our time. The sizable one, and again, I'm so sorry if you resent when I wax political or weave natural time astrology into modern day politics. I do that because that's how my mind is both entertained and agitated. I allow that it might not be true for you. Sorry. The reason I give this little preamble is because today, Blue Resonant Hand is essentially the augury of the Blue Hand Wave Spell that will come in 20 days. The first brush with Blue Hand, which will take over the next time we come around to this tribe, and it will be featured for 13 days. It'll be epicentric. And Donald Trump is the Blue Hand. So I think that was more of a warning, really, than a big, political diagnostic teaching. It's just more like, ugh, it's going to just be outrageous at the end of April, as we call it, when a lot of the American pandemic surge is going to be beyond critical mass, just explosive, as predicted. We'll be right in the heart of Donald Trump's world. And today is, I am your precursor for that. I'm your premonition. I'm the augury by letting you know that. But we don't have to spend time on Blue Hand while we're still in Red Dragon. In fact, it's the Red Dragon Wave Spell. We're at the halfway point, and then we'll have White Wizard, the Wave Spell, which is really exciting because it is the microcosm of our White Wizard year. And in fact, just in 6 days from now, we will be at the Galactic Return, which is 260 days after July 26th. Every year, we celebrate the galactic return 260 days from the beginning of the year. And that means it'll be White Magnetic Wizard again, which it was on July 26th. And that's why our year is called White Magnetic Wizard. So there's a lot of cyclical and circular reckoning upon us. And the Red Dragon Wave Spell, I just had lots of thoughts, and I might repeat some of them because they just, of course, come into all this free headspace, airspace of being at home and being really involved in like handwork, where the mind just wanders, and I try to fill it. It's best filled with Grateful Dead music, because then the mind wanders way out. But I also have time in silence where my mind is just chattering away. And in that window, I can hear things, think things, feel them, such as, I did speak of this before, you know, matriarchy v. patriarchy, the showdown. So the matriarchy is represented in the Red Dragon time, and it is a wonderful moment to both indulge in that kind of a reality and also, you know, ascertain what that means. You know, what are you doing that feels in some way like a matriarchal impulse? And I have some answers. You know, a lot of the kindness towards strangers that we show in these trying times comes from that place. A lot of the warmth that we feel towards those who are suffering, and also those that we encounter that we imagine are struggling. When I see parents with children, I just think about how they are with them all the time, and that was a detonation in their lives. And I feel all this warmth and care and compassion. And I'm not saying that, I mean, I just feel that because it's the wave spell of having this, you know, shielding, you know, wanting to take everyone into your womb, essentially, or portraying really unconsciously. I mean, that everyone is in there, you know, we're mother hen or old mother Hubbard, where everyone is just tucked into our different crevices, and we keep them in our, you know, skirt folds. So that's matriarchal. And I think just loving really, really devotionally, devotedly. Well, that can be a kind of a white dog thing. So let me say it this way, like, just having an inexhaustible source of love that is in some way truly protective, truly nurturing, you know, that it gives life force. I think of white dog love as adoration, you know, that it is a disciple adoring some, you know, figure of that they're loyal in some way to some godhead. And maybe if, in terms of dogs in our lives, like, we're the godhead. Hi, I'm home. And you get all this adulation. But certainly Red Dragon's love, as I describe it, is much more from the source. You know, it's like stepping into the goddess and experiencing what it is to love those who hold adoration, those who are blind to adoration, but to just be available. Like, I have endless, boundless love. That is not my mood, by the way. I just feel like the strength of this time is that we're filled with that. You know, we can access it in different points. And then there's a struggle, which I so strongly felt in Red Magnetic Dragon, the first day of the wave spell and the first day of the new Zulkin. Just a horrible day. I'm a couple of spikes of horror. And I saw it by the second day of the wave spell and also the Zulkin, white lunar wind, like, oh, this was the struggle between the impulses of the matriarchy, which I just described, and then the patriarchy's shadow. Because the patriarchy is also benevolent, you know, if we're talking about it as a divine description, white wind, the father god, the father sky, all of this, you know, here's your freedom to run and be in unencumbered space. You know, that is what a paternal divinity shows us. Like, this is the world that you can occupy. I support you in being in full expression and taking up space and noticing that you can occupy this earthen reality, this aerated reality, there is, if there's any limitation, it's my sort of boundaried governance, you know, the different kind of protection from a father that you can do all these things and I'm going to hold the perimeter. But it's much wider than a womb. So that's a really positive, wonderful part of White Wind, or the partnership between Red Dragon and White Wind. And then there's the shadow. And the shadow of the mother, by the way, of Red Dragon, the matriarchal shadow, is, as many of us can imagine, it's interfering and controlling, not letting go, suffocating. I'm using like the womb analogy, like I can't get out. And also looking at when love feels like entrapment. But I'm much more familiar with the patriarchal shadow, as we all are. So let me just lean on that as a crutch, because I think it's really up. You know, when we come to the Red Dragon moment, I think the fight inside us and the fight that we witness outside in global consciousness and global reality is the sort of jealous father who is in competition with the mother, and because of physical strength can almost always win. So that sounds like domestic violence, which is actually spiked, of course, as people are trapped inside with each other. And that it makes me so sad. So is child abuse. So is abuse of animals. I live in a really affluent and mixed Southern California location. And I learned that from my DA's report in the newspaper. It's happening where I live. It's not just happening in, you know, abstract, remove places where there is chronic suffering of that kind already. It's happening, I would assume, everywhere. So that that strength, physical strength that a male is endowed with, testosterone and the will to survive that could be even, you know, animalistically, like in a battle, when that takes over, it is really shadowy and painful, and also looks a lot like you know, verbal slights and kind of being condescending or condemning people. Now, this happens when women do it too. That's sort of my message here, is in the Red Dragon wave spell, we all get to feel feminine divine. We all get to feel the counter influence of the masculine divine, and that the beginning of this Zolk'in and the beginning of this wave spell showed us that dilemma. So I think that for sure in the Red Dragon wave spell, we have a moment, 13 days, where the matriarchal influence is central and strongest. So just bear witness to what happens in this time. And I'll leave it there, because I feel like I could rattle on about it. So if you have challenges in your life, let me guess. Well... I think the obvious challenge comes from the traditional unfeeling form of patriarchy. Like, that's probably at base one of the hardest things that we have to endure right now. It's just that old behavior, you know, egotistical, selfish, survivalistic, and gonna make it to the finish line first, and feeling, you know, downtrodden or stifled by that energy around us, and having to bear it in ourselves. Because I think that was sort of maybe where my thought process began in this little segment, which is, you know, I have to curb my own patriarchal shadow behavior right now. I was definitely the receiver of that early on in the wave spell, day one. And then, you know, I had to own, as they say, be accountable, that I also, you know, want to condemn others right now, and I want to be better than and feel better than and sort of disappear them because I'm irritated or they're annoying. And that isn't matriarchal in this evaluation, and it's also just really an uncomfortable place to be. So it'll pass, and I think if I just play out the rest of the Red Dragon wave spell for us, that would be a good use of my time here. So clearly the resonant hand day is sort of under our belts, and I can just say that we have quite a wave spell to come. And then we will have the galactic day that acknowledges the wave spell that just was, and that was yellow star. So on Monday, we will be in yellow galactic star, and we'll be to an extent integrating what we needed to learn, what we did learn in yellow star, the wave spell, what we experienced with this red dragon moment. And we will also feel in that closure and integration. And that will also lead us to make decisions in our life that are possibly from a place of integrity. And then also, just to get back to yellow star and thinking about the lessons we learned, like, I would expect, so much has changed in a short amount of time in the United States, especially. It's just our turn for this big change to take place. And so there's going to be a lot of reminders of where we began on yellow galactic star, like back when I didn't live inside my home all the time. You know, as just kind of an aside, you know, I've been living this lifestyle for moons and moons, because, you know, one thing about really committing to the calendar is I think the kind of expansion that happens so that this event of the descent of coronavirus, and I'm going to sort of keep it specific to outside of China, beyond China, this descent came in the solar moon. And it doesn't mean that all of us can't trace back, you know, premonitions or, you know, the opposite of an echo, like a presaging of this huge surge, final part of our year-long wave spell of getting to the highest ascent. This is the achievement of the year. Like, we would have had an orientation or an understanding of that long before this within our white magnetic wizard year. And in fact, even in the red cosmic moon year before, because the cosmic day or tone always has kind of like a lingering effect of the wave spell that was, and also aspects calling in, as sometimes it's said, calling in the directions, calling in the spirits, calling in the next wave spell. So somehow I dropped into only staying home and making art, except when I exercise my dogs or get food. So I'm in that status quo still. And, you know, yellow galactic star is a reminder that some of us got really into art in that wave spell and still can. We can persist. Let's see. Then on Tuesday, we will be at red solar moon. And it'll be a reminder, maybe, in your body and thoughts of the solar tone of the solar moon that we just had, as I described, when really the heat of the virus, you know, the feverish pace that it took over, and also the function of it being in itself like a fever buster and just moving at light speed through global societies. That is, I think, going to be revisited a bit, just the totality of that, the feeling of that. And it can be despairing to be back in the feeling of the solar moon, which had just such a provocative, life-changing experience for all of us together. And then red moon, red solar moon that day is very much about purification. We just had a 13-year wave spell of red moon, and it was very much about purification in ways, I think, that any of us who are sort of long-term natural time scholars would be able to reflect a little bit in the future. Like, well, since like coronavirus and global warming combined to become epic themes of the white wizard wave spell of 13 years, it's easier to see now in retrospect that the red moon wave spell of 13 years that preceded it was, you know, kind of like the clearing of the decks in order for this to be first and foremost. Not sure that I can see that yet. And okay, then I'll be podcasting on on Wednesday, which will be the planetary day and a planetary moon and worth talking about in present time. And then I can just give us a little bit of an evaluation of this planetary moon that's only, you know, 1.5 days in. I'm not sure that I noticed that it felt different in terms of mood or function, because so much is the same now, but from day to day, or activities, mine. But I felt a lot of relief to get out of, this is just personal, my mother's tone. I mean, I do not want to walk the handful of loyal listeners or any newcomers through my, you know, childhood trauma on air, but I say these things in passing because it's almost like I can't stifle them. And I also, you know, wonder about your own family tree per Mayan astrological insight. You know, it's been incredibly valuable for me to know my parents, of course, my grandparents, my set of grandparents, as many relatives as I remember personally or I hear about in the family folklore, as many birthdays as I can gather. I never made like a visual chart, but I keep it in my mind. And, you know, I have a great grandmother that is a yellow lunar seed, a portal. And so on a yellow lunar seed day, I'm really aware that I can access some experience of her. I didn't ever meet her. I have a yellow self-existing seed daughter who looks a lot like her, which is, I mean, it's many generations below, but that yellow seed commonality, I don't think that's what's dictating like common DNA. I think rather she's like a representation of her great, great grandmother. You know, even interested in a bunch of the same things. And so with that in mind, then we might have maybe in our parents or our children or our partners or our ex-partners, we might have really strong karmic sojourns in their tone or tribe that lead us to recapitulate some of our feelings and experiences in order to resolve them. I mean, I want to say that really loudly. Like, I just had a pretty indescribable solar moon, as we all did, but mine was personalized because of my mother's legacy of predicting the end of the world and the collapse of Western economic practices. So she's really like in her truth and getting validated, and it was exhausting to witness that. And, you know, it doesn't feel very grounded. The solar tone that we've just left isn't a grounded feeling. It kind of makes me sick sometimes, like shooting up some part of a roller coaster, maybe from the acceleration of going down, but all of a sudden just feeling like, I'm going to be shot right into the sky. And it feels wrong to my body. And so the planetary tone that we're now going to spend a long time in is different. It feels really connected. It's called that for obvious reasons, that we feel grounded, but we don't feel grounded because we've dropped back down to the earth and we have roots that are really close, you know, to the surface. It's just the turning of our direction homeward. And it is also, as I say always, it is sort of the restriction from going any higher. Like, no, you're done. That's enough now. Time to go home. So the way that the solar moon can be exhilarating for some and sort of exhausting and numbing for others, you know, an unbounded movement is not everyone's comfort zone. This reversal now, where we're not going to go any higher, we're going to go lower, we're going back where we came from. You know, it is a duality where from one moment to the next or one day to the next, however your cycles work, you could be like, oh, I'm so much calmer now that things are slowing down and turning, because we're not dropping back to earth right now. It's just the turning. It's the reminder that we are planetary people, that we're incarnated, that we're not heaven bound. Some people are heaven bound right now, but those of us who aren't in that portal, the world bridge, the death portal, are going to stay here on the planet and deal with what's happening. And we use the time that we were in the sky ascending for many, many moons, we've been aloft, aiming for the sky. We use all that illumination and freedom and focus on the heavens to lighten our experience of being planetary. It's not thrown away, and it's, you know, we're not being removed from it. It's not being removed from us, but we're again turning homeward, and we belong on the planet. So we feel a solidity of self, I think, which can be uncomfortable, like, ew, too much body mass. But we also, I think I said this already, but there can be a comfort for many of us to have things not quite as frenetically fast-paced, on fire, speed of light. And then it's the moon of manifestation. So all that wishing, I was really encouraging people to grab back their own personal experience of wishing, yearning in the last 2 weeks of the solar moon, as I was trying to remind myself, you know, like, wait, before I was a citizen of a pandemic, was there a personal process that I need to reconnect to? Because this is my window. The door is open for my wishes and yearnings to be openly expressed. It's the appropriate moment. It's earned. It's natural. It's effective. It's a release. And the solar moon, I'm not saying that we get to lodge all our wishes with God and so just in time so they would come true. I got it in right under the wire, and now I'm going to have this because I asked for it. Rather, we just need to let it out. I mean, we are such a wish-aiming culture. You know, at least I'll speak for myself. Like, from such a young child living in a fantasy world of like, I just want this. It would make it better. And, you know, still and always able to articulate, you know, that's one of these new age tropes, is like, you know, this is, I'm envisioning what I really want. I think if I visualize it, it'll come. So we have that practice available to us in the solar tone, and then let go of all the wishing. I hope you got it out of your system, and now accept what's manifested. You know, the solar tone is our communication in the solar language of the sun god. And the planetary tone is that God speaking to us in our language. And so we get to look around at what we get in this, the next 26 days, the 28-day moon we're in. What do we get? We're going to get things back from what we're wishing. And the most interesting game is to try to connect like the wishes that I had with what we get. Because it's so much like childhood, where kids will make, I made Christmas lists based on what I was seeing in TV commercials when I got to be at someone else's house. And there was no way on earth I was going to get a Barbie camper for my mom. Like, it was never going to happen. I mean, I was really unfulfilled as a kid because of that in a certain way. But, you know, what's the answer? Like, I got to go to the ocean beach and find plastic that had washed up from Japan in that era. It was exciting. I mean, truly, that was probably the kind of parallel answer that I got. And after, you know, decades, I can estimate that it was probably the better answer. You know, it was the better fulfillment of my wishes and desires. So you can play this game. It's a game of surrender, and it's a peaked interest game. It's a detail-oriented game. Like, okay, wait, you know, I use this pretty much like, you know, the adult version of wanting a Barbie doll, where I'm like, I just want a boyfriend. That's all I really want. I just want a boyfriend. I have anything else I need, but I don't have a boyfriend. And so, like, having spoken that here, you know, the first thing I could think of that I would sort of want that might, you know, fill an empty space. Now I'm going to spend the planetary moon just like having a sort of laugh fest. Jokes between me and my higher power of like, okay, well, I mean, that's not a boyfriend, but because it's quarantine, there are no boyfriends and girlfriends, apparently. I guess if you're like really illicit, you could start a relationship in this atmosphere, but that's not how I trend. So if it's not going to be a boyfriend, what is it going to be that's equal to washed up plastic on the beach? And please do your own fact finding, get the clues, don't miss them, because that's the dialogue with divinity that I love the most. I want to thank you for listening. I've only been listening to Grateful Dead and doing really intricate, weird art processes, so I don't feel like I have the best game face for being an orator or a teacher right now, but it's nice to stay connected, and I really care that all of us get to gather, all of us, even if it's, I really don't know how many people, just a few, that we get to gather and think about natural time. If this helps you think about it, I think about it always, so it helps me to have a moment that's public. And there is somewhat more to read at resonanttruth.com. There are facts in there about my availability to do readings. If you have any financial prowess left, I'm not a very expensive reader, and I love to do it, and this might be a time when it would be helpful. I am Lisa Starr. I am another yourself, and in Mayan we say, In Lakesh.